Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It's mentally yours from Ellen and Yvette. Focus on your mental health, you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly mental health podcast. I'm Yvette, and today I'm chatting to Tom Chapman. He's a barber, author and speaker who set up the Lions Barber Collective. The group raises awareness for suicide prevention and trains barbers to be better listeners and support their clients with their mental health. We're going to be chatting about how they do that and all things hair. So, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate you taking the time out to chat on Mentally Yours.
Honestly, it's my pleasure.
So let's start with the basics. What is the Lions Barber Collective?
The Lions Barber Collective, as it is now, is a charity for mental health and suicide prevention. We aim to create safe spaces where people feel comfortable to be able to open up and talk about their mental health and be able to signpost them to support and information to keep them safe and mentally healthy. And we do that through two things, really. One is awareness. So we do things like pop-up barbershops in places like universities, schools, festivals, sporting events, anywhere where there's people. We can get into the chair with the carrot on the stick of a free haircut, and then we can talk to them about mental health, have good conversations and tell them about what we do. And then the other thing that we do is we aim to train barbers and hairdressers in barber talk and hair beauty talk, which basically is the four pillars of recognizing the signs that somebody's struggling, asking good questions, listening with empathy and without judgment, and finally helping that person find the help they need.
So why did you set it up and why the focus on mental health?
It all happened very organically as a response to my friend Alex, who took his life in 2014, and I had seen him just a few days before. We had a brief conversation in the street, and I found out about 3 days later that he had actually ended his life. And I was very shocked, taken back. He was very young. He was only in his 20s when he died. And I can remember staying up all night, lots of questions. Why? What if? All the usual questions that relate to suicide. And one of the biggest moments was I was at his funeral. And it was the crematorium was so full out with people. I mean, it was out of the door, even when it started. But I was one of the first people to not have a seat, and I was stood down the front next to Alex, looking back at the room, and it was a very unique position to be in at a at funeral, I saw all their faces. I saw all the love, all the loss, all the sadness, all those people that cared for him. And it made me think, if he had this many people around him that loved him, what made him feel so alone? Why did he not talk to them? How can this change? How can this not happen again? And that gradually evolved into what is the Lions Barber Collective today. It started off as a one-off project for men's mental health, suicide prevention. And I just realised that as hairdressers and barbers, we are in a fantastic position to be able to potentially help people find the help they need. We can bridge the gap between the communities we serve, resources available. Basically, I think we're in a fantastic position with the infrastructure of the hair and beauty industry. We're on every high street. It's accessible to everybody. There's no stigma or taboo about going to have your hair done. So we listen for 2,000 hours a year anyway. Let's take advantage of this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see why you'd have that instinct that setting it up would work, because, I mean, I know from going to my own hairdresser, she's like an extra sort of therapist, really. The kind of conversations that we have, I always feel so much better afterwards. I remember the first haircut I had after lockdown, and it was just the relief. It wasn't anything really to do with how I looked. It was just this lovely long conversation with this woman that I chat to. And so it's a great idea. Can you tell us a bit more about the special training that your barbers go through? You mentioned it a bit already, but can you tell us more about that, please?
Yeah, of course. Just before I do, I just want to touch on that you just said about the first haircut post-lockdown. And I think that people over lockdown realised that the importance of that haircut, and it's not necessarily, like you said, the haircut. It's that interaction with that person you see regularly, who's a familiar stranger, who has intimacy to touch your hair, run their fingers through your hair, touch your scalp, your neck, your face. The first haircut that I did on my friend post-lockdown, he was fine. But as soon as I started cutting hair, he actually broke down and cried. And I stopped, obviously, and asked him what was wrong, and we had the conversation. He said, you know what, there's nothing wrong. It's just, I've lived by myself. So for the last 3 months, I haven't had any intimate, no one's touched me, basically, for 3 months. He hasn't had a hug, hadn't had anything. And I think that really made me realise the importance and also the privilege that we have to be inside someone's personal space like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But moving on to the training that we've done, we developed, I figured that we're in people's lives regularly. We know them. We see them every 6 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 2 weeks. So how can we use that to make a difference? How I went and did lots of different training myself. Found out that there was probably a space for a special training for the hair and beauty industry, specific to them, because we have such a unique job role. And how can we do it very simply within an hour appointment, and how can we make it accessible and usable to them without them having to diagnose or prescribe or anything like that? We're not trying to make people into therapists or counselors or anything like that. How can we do it and make it accessible, especially to a creative non-academic audience? So I worked alongside Dr. Peter Aitken, who is medical director for the County of Devon, and I came up with the four pillars of recognize, ask, listen and help. So the first thing we do is we train barbers and hairdressers how to recognize the signs that somebody may be struggling. So this is going, essentially going through it, we came down to the conclusion that it's a change in their behavior. We know what our client's normal behavior is like. So if they change that, they're changing their body language, they're sleeping too much, or they're sleeping not enough, or they've gained lots of weight, or they've lost lots of weight over a short period of time, or they have obsessions, or things, something that's changed in them. If they come in, they sit and they talk to you about the football every single time you have their haircut, and next time they don't even want to talk about the football, then there's something may have happened. And we're not saying it's always suicide, but it's an opportunity to then ask a question. So we teach them to ask good questions, good open-end questions, direct questions, and not being scared to, if we need to, ask the question, are you suicidal and do you have a plan? Because I, hand on heart, can say that everyone I've asked that to is still alive today. It's a very important question, and asking someone about suicide does not cause suicide. So it's good to get rid of that myth as well. And then we teach them how to listen well with empathy and without judgment, not to butt in, not to advise, not to tell them that you understand or you know how they feel, but actually to say, look, I don't understand how you feel, but I'm here to listen to you if you want to explain to me. And then being quiet and letting them listen. Letting them talk so that you listen, and even throwing it back to them all the time, giving the conversation back to them and letting them lead the way, giving them that platform to potentially solve their own issues. And then finally, fourth pillar is help to help. should you need it. Sometimes listening is enough, but we teach them how to create their own keep safe connections list, is what we call it. So they all have their bespoke ones. We don't give them a list of resources. We get them in the session to find resources in their area, which they then go and check that are available, what they do, and we create their own list for their own shop. So if in a moment of crisis, it's about keeping the barbers and hairdressers safe as well as the person in the chair, so that they can pass them on to somebody and keep them safe. And then we finally go over a little bit about the five steps to mental well-being, of how they keep themselves mentally fit as well, which we touched on. But this training has been, I've just finished writing my next book, which is based around this training, which is non-industry specific. It's for everyone. It's going to be a handbook of how to do these. That training is CPD endorsed now as well, and we're in the process of working with one of the awarding bodies for me to edit and adapt the training so that it can be taught in colleges, sixth forms, across any other industry, because I believe that actually suicide is a needle in a haystack situation, and everybody in the community can make a difference if we know how to recognise changes in behaviour, how to ask good questions, not be scared of them, how to listen well, and to know what other resources are actually about. So I think it's the training has evolved a lot since it first started, but I honestly believe it's something that we could all be better at.
Mm. Well, I can definitely see how it could be helpful in other similar industries, like the one that comes to mind sort of instantly would be sort of the beauty industry. You know, if you go and have a manicure, if you have that relationship with someone you go to regularly, or sort of another beauty treatment, that'd be really useful. And it's really interesting to know as well that you don't shy away from talking about suicide and actually asking that direct question. What do you think it is about having your haircut that makes people, or some people, open up?
I think it's a relationship that you build up. You're a familiar stranger. You're a friend. I have friends I have clients that are friends and have been my friend for 20 years, but I've never seen them really outside of that environment of sitting down, having their hair cut. So there's the familiar stranger thing, like I said before, is that you feel comfortable around us, but you know nothing. If you say something, it's not going to go back to one of your friends. It's not going to go back to your family. It's a safe place to actually have a conversation. On top of that, there's been a lot of research into why, especially men, would like talking about these sorts of things when they're doing something else. If men aren't very good generally at sitting down having a conversation face to face with somebody, especially about things like this, so I think that's another reason we are better at talking whilst doing. So you're having a haircut, we're not concentrating on the haircut, we're concentrating on the haircut, so we relax. And also the intimacy, the fact that we are, oxytocin is released on human contact. I'm here running my fingers through your hair, beard, whatever it may be, that intimacy is really important. Also, eye contact through a mirror, that's quite unique. It's less confrontational, and we're not constantly having contact. When people are talking about things that are difficult for them, people find it hard to have eye contact. So this is a space where you naturally don't have much eye contact. And then I think to top it off is this level of trust there. People trust us to make them look good. And holding sharp objects around someone's head or a cutthroat razor against someone's neck is a pretty pretty sort of uneasy position to be in if you were anywhere else other than a barbershop.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think it's all really interesting, but I think it's particularly interesting what you said there about it maybe being interesting to talk about stuff while you're doing something else, while you feel like you're doing something practical, because I think for everyone it can feel quite daunting, the idea of going to a doctor or a therapist. And I know you're not competing with them, but I think that's really interesting.
The doctor and therapist thing though, as well, look, if you're going to go to a therapist, you're probably thinking, are they going to diagnose me with something? Are they going to prescribe you with something? Am I going to lose my job? Are they going to tell me I'm mad? Are they going to, whereas you go to the hairdressers or barbers, and there's none of that there. There's no, they're not keeping any paperwork on you. They're not, it's a very kind of relaxed place. And, talks about talking while doing, I always think relate it to something like going on a road trip with somebody. When you're in the car with someone for long periods of time, you end up having these conversations about all sorts of stuff. And I think there's something about that, being close to someone, trusting them to get you there, A to B, and you're not actually confrontational, having that face-to-face contact, or going on a walk with somebody, or these are moments where people tend to open up and feel relaxed and talk about stuff.
Let's talk a little bit about the past year now, because I have to wonder, how have you and the barbers in your collective been doing over the past year and a half? Because it must have been quite a tricky situation for people in those jobs.
Yes, so I think the industry itself suffered massively because we are a people industry. We have cash flow through interaction with people and exchanging cash for a service. And of course, we could not do that. And I think a lot of the industry really struggled. I am a global barber director for Kuhn Hair Cosmetics, and I couldn't travel. I spent, before the pandemic, I was on a plane to a different country every week doing hair shows and what have you. And obviously, I could no longer do that. So that was very difficult. And I think also for the clients, it was difficult not seeing them. We're very much people. We see 10, 20 people a day, and to have that human contact taken away from us, was very difficult, I must say. But I also must say that I found it personally, the lockdown, I enjoyed it because I was able to put my kids to bed every night. I didn't have to do any FaceTime bedtimes or anything like that. And actually, because I wasn't traveling the world, I was able to solely focus on the Lions Barber Collective. And I was in the office by myself every single day, basically giving it a full-time job hours and the rest to get it to where we've got it to. So helping develop the training for an online platform, and we actually managed to train hundreds and hundreds of barbers and hairdressers over the lockdown period, and with Barber Talk and Hair and Beauty Talk, that now have a reach of thousands every week. So that was productive. We actually worked with the NHS on that. And we built up a lot of relationships, and we've done quite a lot because I was able to focus just on the Lions Barber Collective, and we come up with new campaign ideas like the Mullet Over Together campaign, which starts this suicide prevention day on the 10th. We're encouraging barbers to have, well, and clients and people to have mullet haircuts, because normally you mull something over alone. You don't think about it. You think about it by yourself. You don't talk about it with anyone else. So we're encouraging barbers and hairdressers to mullet over together using the medium of the mullet haircut, which is coming back as a vehicle to get the conversation started about mental health.
Yeah, I love that. I was going to, that was my next question anyway, to tell us about the latest campaign. But so was the idea that the barbers themselves get the haircut, or that they encourage people coming in to get it? And is it really fashionable? Because, I mean, this is just a question. Is it really coming back? Has it come back?
Do you know what, the mullets? So the last show that I did before the lockdown was the LA Hair Show in January 2020. And normally, the younger lads there, all the lads in their 20s, you can tell what's coming back because they're the ones that always seem to have it. And it's one of the first shows of the year. And then you kind of see it over the year get more and more popular. And then, of course, lockdown happened. All the 20-something-year-old lads had mullets there, basically. And then the lockdown happened, obviously. So no one could travel, no one could do anything, no one could go to the barbers. Everyone's hair grew out a bit. And there were a few things I saw online with mullets coming, throughout lockdown, where people were cutting the side of their hair because that's all they could see. So I think it evolved slightly on that. And then actually, when people come out of lockdown, people had that bit of length, and people were trying newer things with their hair. Men were trying newer things with their hair rather than going back to the same short haircut they've had every single 2 weeks for the last God knows how long. So it was It kind of organically came back through the longer hair, through lockdown. But honestly, I on Carnaby Street, I'm seeing mullets everywhere. It's very, very sort of, it's just kicking off the trend. And I'm seeing loads of mullets about. So I think it's something new. There's only so many different shapes that you can have with a haircut. It's only short areas and longer areas. And, through the process of elimination, this one has come back now. And all the kids that are having it done, I've never had a mullet before. It came back about 20 years ago when I first started in the hair industry. A lot of young lads have a mullet. So, these things go in cycles, don't they? And it really is coming back. And the idea of what we're doing is it's always a conversation starter, the mullet. It's one of the sort of most iconic haircuts. So let's use that as a vehicle to have these conversations around mental health. And, the idea is that, yes, you can get a mullet haircut yourself. Post pictures of it, obviously, online, talk about the mullet over campaign, but barbers can have their hair cut into mullets too. And we want to try and have it so that you can even raise money to have your mullet cut in. it's not something that can be, it's sort of something that can be reversed quite easily as well. If you know, if your hair is slightly a bit longer, you just have the sides cut, and then you can cut the back off afterwards. So it's not too permanent. It's not like shaving your head completely and then you've got to wait forever for it to grow back. So it's a bit of fun, but it's also coming back and making a bit of a statement in fashion style as well.
Mm. No, I like the combination of it sort of being, a bit of fun, but also, you know, serious conversation about mental health. We've always tried to be like that on the podcast in general, you know, kind of taking a lighter approach to chatting about quite serious mental health stuff. But for me, I still think of Pat Sharp with his mullet. So I can't take it seriously. But I mean, I think that's fine, really. I think it'll get a lot of people sort of talking just as a jumping off point.
Yeah, definitely. That Pat Sharp mullet is very serious. I mean, I'm a hairstylist for 20 years. I have no idea how he got it to look like that. That's some serious styling going on there.
It's iconic, though, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. He got voted the most iconic mullet in a survey, which we've just done recently. So he led the way by far.
I'd like to finish up by asking you a bit about what your plans are next for the collective, whether it's sort of to do with what's happening a bit with the campaign or just generally over the next year. And also, how can barbers get involved if they're listening to this and they think they'd like to join your mission to help people chat about mental health?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, look, I'm constantly evolving, constantly trying to move forward. We've got lots of things going on. So one of the things we're doing, we've got the Collective Pride Awards, which we just launched this year. So you can actually, if you know a hairdresser or a barber or a beautician who's a hero to you, you know, whether they've got a great salon and they get involved in the, you know, in the community, or they've just made you feel fantastic. Perhaps, you know, you went through a breakup and they sorted out your hair and made you feel fantastic. Whatever it may be. We're actually doing a Collective Pride Award. So collectiveprideawards.co.uk. You can actually go and nominate a hairdresser or barber or beautician for an award to recognise, because we often recognise the creative sides of our industry, but not actually the fact that the community side of our industry, and we do so much. So that's something that's going on at the moment. We have got, obviously, the Mullet Over Together campaign, which launches Suicide Prevention Day. And we'll continue. And I hope that, you know, every September moving forward, it will be Mullet Over Together month. And we'll do, you know, everybody will be doing, have a wearing mullets in the month of September, which is a plan, because we want to celebrate and get conversation started around that. We're doing lots of pop-up. We're allowed to go out and play again. So we're doing loads of pop-ups now, which is getting really busy. So we're always looking for barbers to come and help us. To be volunteers to cut the hair at all different places. So places like, say, football games, festivals, all the rest of it. So that's something that we're going and doing more and more. Obviously, we always want to keep on training. We're developing the training, like I said to you. So we're going to have a launch of that next year, which is really exciting. And if people want to get involved with it, please, please do contact us. You can go on our website, or you can contact our volunteer coordinator, who's called Leanne, and she's absolutely incredible. So it's Leanne@lionsbarbercollective.com if you want to contact her and get involved and find out what you can do. And if you want to do something around the training now, you can go to our website, lionsbarbercollective.com, and you can take the Barber Talk Lite, which will probably take you 15 minutes. It's a real taster session of what the training's about.
So this is goodbye from mentally yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores. From mentally yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed today, you can give the Samaritans a ring on 116 123.
If you like Mentally Yours, you can also find us on Twitter. We're at MentallyYRS. We also have a lovely Facebook group, which is just called Mentally Yours.
And if you really liked us, you could do us a massive favour and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's much appreciated, helps us, you know, continue doing what we're doing. So please do rate and review and check back in next week for more Mentally Yours.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.